Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcast.
Shining at the end of every day, there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las podcast. This is episode number 203, recorded from the DeFauntLeroy Studios in Westerly, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined as always by my co-host, Mike, down in Florida. How are you doing today, Mike?
Doing well, Mr. Klinsman. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. A little early this week on Thursday instead of Saturday evening, so we're making some progress here.
Yep, last recording in Studio B.
It's official, huh?
Yes, sir.
Moving out. Gonna play the Billy Joel song at this break.
Yep.
Dun, 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 dun. And he's traded his Chevy for a Cadillac. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You oughta know by now.
The other day I had Yergina and Yergina Jr. in the car, and I didn't even have the radio on. I was just belting that song, and they're both like trying to fall asleep. But I'm just saying.
And you can never argue with a crazy mama, mama, mama. You oughta know by now. You oughta know.
Old school Billy Joel is the best.
Nothing better.
Nothing better than old school Billy Joel. I didn't tell you, I got, or not just me, but my family, we got Frank and Sue a record player for Christmas.
Oh, where do you find those?
I got it, I found it at JCPenney of all places. And it was on sale on Black Friday, so I ordered it. They didn't have it in the store I went to, so I had to order it. But it's like Bluetooth, it's got radio, it's got CD, it's got cassette, it's got record player.
Does it have 8-track?
Does not have 8-track.
Oh, that would be the ultimate, wouldn't it?
I know. But it's beautiful. It looks like an old school, like it's Victrola, it's the same brand, so it's like that old school like cabinet style record player. It's really nice looking. But you can actually, like, you can hook up your phone, so you can like connect your phone to it and play stuff. So I was showing my mom how to do it, and she ended up listening to the Por Favor podcast on the old Victrola. But Frank has a bunch of old Billy Joel and Elton John records, so I want to hear how those things sound on that.
Oh, I bet they sound fantastic.
Yeah,
if they're not scratched.
There's something about hearing music off a record that just sounds right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, digital stuff sounds good and crisp, but there's something, I mean, people really get into it, but something about hearing a song on vinyl really sounds good.
I agree.
And just because growing up in my house, that was what we had. That's what I think of. When I think of vinyl, I think of like Billy Joel and Elton John.
Oh, we used to listen to William Joel at your parents' house all the time.
Yeah.
That was like Christmas music.
Yeah, right.
We used to listen to him on Christmas. Yeah, it was beautiful.
So that just made me think of that moving out. Yeah. This is a good first segment. Talking record players and Billy Joel. So what? So you're moving out. You have internet hooked up at the new joint yet?
Negative.
Oh, boy. You telling me I might be on my own next week?
I'm telling you, you might want to call Michael Schaefer. That is correct.
Oh, Schaefer. All right.
I was going to try to use him this week, but, you know, I don't want to pull that card at too many times. So.
Right. He's going to start, you know, looking at his contract.
He threw me for a loop the last time he was on, bitching about, you know, money and how he hasn't gotten all the proper
He's a public servant. He's a union guy, Bill. You got to watch out for those guys.
They
keep a close eye on their contracts.
I know.
All of a sudden, he's going to be on paid leave, on disability. You know how that goes.
Yeah, I know. I think Michigan's a very blue state, so I think, you know, maybe opening up a studio in there wasn't the smartest decision on our part.
No, we have to, it wasn't good. It wasn't lucrative. But, you know, you do what you do for talent, and Schaefer's got it.
Yeah.
If nothing else, he's got it.
And we tried to move him to a tax-friendly state like Texas and Florida, but he cordially declined. He's staying up there in Michigan.
Yeah, it was like the Amazon search for a new headquarter. We were trying to find a new studio. We got proposals from cities around the country, and we were going to relocate Schaefer, and somehow he had the pull to get Diamonddale, Michigan.
Diamonddale,
the winner
of all places.
Can you believe it?
That's unbelievable.
We had Austin, Texas, Portland, Oregon. You know, we had Tulsa, Oklahoma, beautiful city. Shreveport, Louisiana threw their hat in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But no,
I remember you flew down there too a couple weeks ago to check it out, and you told me you were very impressed with their proposal down in Shreveport.
Yeah, I mean they rolled out a bucket of like all you could eat crawfish. That was all I needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little bit of gumbo, some crawfish.
Yeah, I mean they fly you down and you didn't even have to fly Por Favor Industries. Fly you down and you're walking off the plane and they're already handing you some etouffee and. And what else did they give you on
I had
your
some,
way down the stairs? Just on your way down the stairs of the plane.
So I got some beignets. I had a muffuletta sandwich. I mean, I know this is all New Orleans stuff, and I don't know the difference. So obviously this joke isn't landing. But we had all the good stuff, all the Southern Cajun things.
Mm-hmm.
Pecans or pecans, I don't know how they say it. Pralines, all the good
you know,
stuff.
You
Lisa
know what
Green's going to correct us on all this, isn't she?
You know what I thought was the over-the-top part?
What was that?
Was when they brought the New Orleans Saints cheerleaders there.
Yeah, and
just like when a new coach, like when Dan Mullen takes over and you see like the Florida cheerleaders there. They have the New Orleans cheerleaders there and you're stuffing your safe with a muffuletta. I mean, it was classic.
They had a marching band. They play, oh, when the Saints, on the trumpets and everything.
Right, yeah.
Throwing the beads like Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm. They went all out.
Come to think of it, maybe it wasn't Shreveport we went to. Maybe it was New Orleans. After all this, I'm saying that makes more sense. I think it was the Shreveport Tourism Council, but we landed in New Orleans and we just stayed there. It was too good of a time.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So I got to get Schaefer on the horn next week. All right. Well, thanks for the heads up. I got like 3 days to put this together. All right. I'm going to have to pay for your internet just so you're back up and running soon.
Yeah, we'll have to go to dial up again.
The 90-second delay between our Skype conversations.
Exactly.
Oh, that was brutal. I need to go back and listen to like the first couple episodes. We couldn't talk over one. We had to wait.
There was like 17-second delays.
You were on the Chaska Town internet. It was like a gerbil running on a wheel controlling 13, the internet.
$11.95. I thought I was getting a hell of a deal.
Yeah, sure was. You got what you paid for anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're moving on to, what is this, the fifth studio you've been in now?
Let's see, we had Minneapolis, St. Paul, we had Sarasota, and we had Paris. This will be the fourth that I'm moving into.
The fourth, that's right.
You are not jealous of me, are you?
No. I mean, I like that you're living in Florida, but I don't like that you've moved four times or three times.
Ugh.
Not fun. At least now, you know, you got a house. You were renting. You never really had ownership of a place. Now you're buying a house. You have ownership of it. You're going to set down stakes. You know,
mm-hmm.
This is going to be your place for a while. No one-year mm-hmm. lease, two-year lease.
No, it's going to be a beautiful thing.
Get to unpack, hang up all your panoramic stadium pictures that you have.
Mm-hmm. All that. Get my Danny Waffle guy that you
shrine
bought me.
Yeah, yep. The shrine to Danny Waffle going.
Yep.
You could have like a whole, I mean, this new place is so big and sprawling that you could have like a room just for Danny Warfel.
I was thinking about maybe doing a Heisman Trophy room.
Oh, that like Spurrier and Warfel and
Tim Tebow.
And Tim Tebow, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
The triumvirate. That sounds good to me. Every time you open the door, it plays a fight song. Go, Gators.
Yeah, that's not a bad option, Bill.
No, it's not. You think Susie would like that? You paint on the wall in a mural, welcome to the swamp.
Yes. This is gator country on
you
all
need
four
the old,
corners.
You need the old school gator, where it looked like a real alligator, not like the cartoon one.
Yeah.
I like
their
that
old,
logo.
Their old logo with the UF was one of my favorite logos.
Because it had just like a kind of like a silhouette of an actual alligator.
Yeah, it had an alligator, and then the other area had like the state of Florida. It was a really nice logo.
That was a good logo. Get that up on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the swamp.
Welcome to the swamp. This is Gator Country.
Gator Country. Speaking of swamp, you want to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about your...
my
your
squatty potty?
Yeah, your squatty potty. I was wondering where you were going with speaking of the swamp.
So this week I have a maple breakfast stout from 14th Star Brewing Company, craft brewed in Vermont. St. Albans, Vermont. This is a... brewed with real maple syrup. This is a pint, 6.5% alcohol by volume. It says, growing up in Vermont, it was always exciting to see my pépère, which I think means grandfather, craft liquid gold from a simple maple tree. In keeping with this tradition of craftsmanship, we brewed our maple breakfast stout with 100% Vermont maple syrup and Northern Bayou cold brew coffee. We hope you enjoy this dark and delicious beer. It's very good. It is dark and delicious, and I am enjoying it, so I appreciate them saying that.
Well, I'm happy that you like that beer, Mr. Klinsman.
Do you think you would enjoy that?
That's a negative, sir. Negative.
Coffee, maple. No, you don't think that would be for you?
I don't even like those breakfast sausages, the maple breakfast sausages.
No, oh, those are good. Oh, you're weird, though, because I like to like dip my bacon and sausage in maple syrup, and you think that's gross, don't you?
Yeah, it's stuff that doesn't go with stuff.
No, it goes good. It obviously goes with stuff. You can get maple bacon and maple sausage everywhere.
No, bad stuff.
No, you don't know. Pigs in a blanket? You don't like that?
I like a like pig in a blanket. I just like don't like
pancake.
The maple.
So you get
no,
a pancake?
No. I like the stuff you get in Rhode Island.
Oh,
or
like
a Caserta's pizza.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's not a pig's. I mean, that is. But I'm talking about like a pancake with a piece of sausage inside that you dip into the syrup. That's heaven.
Mm-mm.
That's heaven to me. I don't know. I got nothing else here before this first break. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, sir.
All right, Anthony works at a grocery store, saving his pennies for someday. We'll go hit that song. We'll be back after this. Break. This is episode 203 of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las podcast, and in this week's episode, you found an article that we're going to talk about on a website. I've never seen this website before until you sent it to me, howtodisney.com. We have no affiliation with them. I don't know how popular a website this is or what, but you said it pops up on your Facebook feed occasionally.
Yeah, a few different ones regarding food at Disney.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with that. And then this says, according to this website, these are the 8 hardest reservations to get at Walt Disney World for dining. And we're just going to go through the list and we'll give our thoughts on it, whether we think it's worth trying to get a reservation at these places, if we would, if we've been there, what we think of it, and all that kind of stuff. So we'll just go through it in the order that they have. And we'll make our comments. And it starts off with Hollywood Studios Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater. And it says it's popular because of how unique it is. As you know, your table's in a car facing a giant screen playing old film clips, blah, 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 blah. It's not the hardest reservation to get, but it can be difficult during peak times. I agree with it being difficult to get. Because I have tried to book it, like, last minute, and there's never reservations for it. But is this something that you would book out 6 months out if you were planning a trip?
No.
And you've eaten there, correct?
I ate there with Diane. That is correct. And that was one of those, believe it or not, it was one of those where we were both hungry, and she said, all right, where do you want to eat? And kind of farting around, and I said, I would love to eat at 50s Prime Time. So that's almost impossible to get a walk-up.
Right.
So she said, okay, we're on the dining plan. She said, how about this place, Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater? I said, all right. I looked at the menu. It looked fine by me. They must have had a cancellation because they sat us within 5 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Yeah, I've tried to go. I tried to do a walk up there, and they kind of laughed at me. I think it was on our honeymoon with Sarah and I, so I wasn't, like, totally into all the planning. I kind of knew what was popular, but I didn't know how hard it would be. And it was, like, lunchtime, like 2 o'clock. And we were on the deluxe dining plan, so I figured we had credits to burn. We'll just go grab a quick lunch at this place. And we went up and said, we don't have a reservation table for 2. They said, no chance, basically. And not in that exact tone, but it was like, no, that's not happening, sorry. And I was like, okay, interesting. And then, like I said, a few times been at the parks and like, oh, maybe I'll just check on the app and see if you can get a reservation for Sci-Fi. Nope, not happening. That's a place that it's not high on my list, but I would like to try it. But I'm not going to go out of my way and book it out 6 months to make sure I get a reservation there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, I went with my mom. What do you think my mom would have liked that place?
That is a negative.
That is a negative, sir. She did. But in all actuality, in all joking aside, the food was actually really good. And I did a Gary. We're on the dining plan. So I went for, I said, oh, they have a ribeye. They had a nice ribeye steak with like mm-hmm. green beans and mashed potatoes. And the steak was fantastic. And she got a sandwich and she loved it too. But she just didn't, you know, it was a little too gimmicky for her. The two of us sitting next to each other. My only complaint, I thought it was a really, really cool place. My only complaint was that the movies and the commercials and stuff ran literally like on a 7 minute loop.
I've heard that before. And so that it's started like, you to get see old. It should be at least like 20 minutes. So you only see it maybe twice through your whole right, time instead right. of like 10 times while you're sitting there. Yeah, that's not good. But at least the food was good. I've heard mixed on the food. Mm-hmm. Like some people like it, some people like it's just okay. But a lot of people really want to go for the atmosphere. That wouldn't really do much for me sitting in a car. I heard they're not that comfortable, especially if you're a little bit bigger like, mm-hmm. like you and I. They have the regular tables on the outside, I believe. So you're not forced to sit in the car, and I'd probably prefer sitting at one of the picnic tables, to be honest. But mm-hmm. I've never been. It's not, like I said, it's not a place that I'm dying to go to, but...
You know, it'll probably be cool in a few years when you go down with the girls. They'd probably get a kick out of it.
But between that and the 50s primetime, I'd pick 50s primetime if I'm going to do a themed dining at Hollywood Studios.
I agree with you.
Although the food is probably better at Sci-Fi. I'm not a huge fan of the food at 50s, but I love the theming there.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to the next option on this list. And here's a place that we know why it's difficult to get, and we know that it's a place that neither of us are dying to get to, but it's Chef Mickey's. It's at the Contemporary, obviously. You can meet all the main characters, and it makes it a hot commodity. Character dining is there all day for breakfast and dinner and lunch, and it does fill up quick. And this is one that I have booked. I had it booked for my trip in February, which got postponed, and I have it booked again for my trip in June because going with two young kids, it's a must-do, and it's not for the food at all, and that's the reason it fills up, is for the characters, and, you know, someone who doesn't care about characters like you, you're going to avoid it like the plague, but it's a buffet. You know the food's going to be edible, and you get the characters in there, so it makes sense why it's so popular. And I'm not dying to go there for the food, but I am looking forward to it for the character interactions.
Okay.
What are your thoughts? I mean, anything to add there?
Yeah. This is another place that me and my mom tried to get into. We had a few reservations when we went, but it was pretty much on the cuff. What do you want to try? And we're at Disney, and she said, you want to get breakfast? I said, yeah. So two times that I went with her, we tried Chef Mickey's, and they laughed at us. Mm-hmm. And then we got on the monorail and went over to the Grand Floridian and got right into 1900 Park Fair, which I love. I think their breakfast is fantastic.
That's one you don't really need a reservation for, or you could probably get it a week or two ahead of time.
Yeah, that's not a problem. And I wonder what's more popular. It would be the breakfast. I'm talking Chef Mickey's, the breakfast or the dinner over there.
I think the breakfast is a lot more popular, mm-hmm. Just because people do it before they go to the Magic Kingdom.
That's what I would think, yep.
And then after a long day at Magic Kingdom, a lot of times you're just looking to get back to wherever you're staying, whether, you know, if you're staying on property or off, you're not looking to have a dinner. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that are going all day, they're not going to leave at 4:30 to go over to the Contemporary and have a two-hour dinner.
But I would think that if any time would be busy, it would be the earlier because people might want to sneak out at 4:35 and grab a quick dinner and then still be able to head to the parks for a couple hours before they had to bail with the kids.
That is true. That's a good point as well. And breakfast is cheaper, so that's another reason. Although it's not cheap. I mean, this is
relatively speaking, it's an expensive breakfast, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we did Cape May, which was a character breakfast, and, mm-hmm. I mean, that was nice. The good character interaction, Yergina loved it, the food was very good. I don't have the highest hopes for this, but with dinner, I think the food will be better options. I know they have a couple carving stations. You can't really go wrong with a carving station, and they'll have, you know, potatoes and rice and vegetables. So there's going to be good stuff to eat at the Chef Mickey dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the characters, it's going to be your Gina Jr.'s first chance to meet Mickey and Minnie and all those. So that'll make it worth it for us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely not about the food. And, I mean, that's pretty obvious that it's the main attraction is the characters for this place.
See, and you and I agree, we do like breakfast buffets because it's really hard to screw one up.
That's true.
They're constantly bringing fresh eggs. It's not like the eggs are sitting there and they're scraping them off the pan. It's all fresh items.
Right. They're so busy, they're turning over the food nonstop.
Right.
There.
But my take on dinner is if I'm going to spend $65 on dinner, I'll go to Narcoossee's.
Right.
You know, I don't want to spend $65 on ham and turkey.
Right. That's true. I mean, if you're spending $65, if I'm going to spend $65 on dinner, I'm not taking a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old to Narcoossee either.
That is true.
So it's different, obviously different situations. If it was just my wife and I, yeah, Chef Mickey's wouldn't even be on the table. We'd mm-hmm. go to California Grill or, you know, Ohana Grand Floridian Cafe. But with the girls, Chef Mickey is a more a better option.
I think Susie and I will definitely do that for breakfast because I do love the Grand Canyon Concourse at the Contemporary.
Yeah, it's a great location, too.
There's something so magical about it.
And you know what? You mentioned how when you went to Sci-Fi with Diane that I didn't think she would like it. I think she would love that. If you guys had gotten into Chef Mickey's, I think she would have got a kick out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she always liked the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she would have enjoyed that, and you probably would have had fun, too.
Mm-hmm.
But again, for $45 for breakfast, probably wouldn't have felt like you got your money's worth or whatever it is. You know.
But then again, at the end of the day, it's about the experiences.
That's true. All right, number 3 on the list. This one is just based on size. Victoria and Albert's. There's not a lot of tables there, so obviously it's a difficult reservation to get. Very expensive, especially if you do the chef's tasting table. This is something that's on your bucket list, right? Ultimate kind of bucket list place?
Absolutely, because I had an agreement. I had a handshake agreement with Susie. I said, if you get that job in Florida, I'm taking you to Victoria and Albert's.
You just didn't tell her when. You're contractually obligated, but you have a few years to fulfill that.
Correct, yes. Yeah.
It wasn't like the week you got here, so.
Yeah.
You know, just wait for a nice anniversary or something.
Yeah, you know, like I said, that's going to be the place that we go to when we spend, like, if we can get a weekend, a decent rate for a weekend, and just go up, she can get a massage, I can play some golf. And
right, because you got to bring the fancy clothes with you and everything.
Yeah, you got to bring the suit.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? Is that on your bucket list before we move on?
I thought it was, but I don't think my wife would enjoy it as much as I would. So I'm not going to go by myself, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's no one else, unless me and you went together, you know, there's not really anybody in my immediate family that I think would enjoy it. I don't think mm-hmm. Frank or Sue would really enjoy it. Can you imagine Por Favor Frank at Victoria and Albert's?
Everything that came, he'd be like, what the hell is this?
My sisters aren't the most adventurous eaters. And, I mean, my wife would go with me, and I just don't know if she would be, like, if it would be worth spending over $500, you know, total for a meal.
I don't know. I don't think it's worth it, even if the two of you loved it. But
especially with that, you know.
I've looked at YouTube videos, and that stuff, like, a lot of the stuff, I don't even know what the hell it is.
Yeah, I don't think you wouldn't be saying, oh, this is stuff that doesn't go with stuff. You just kind of got to grin and bear it and hope that you like it.
And you know what? And I'm sure, you know, I don't like beets, and I'm sure, you know, when they bring out that entree that has beet salad, it's probably absolutely amazing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would go, but again, like I said, I don't know who I'd go with. So that's a tougher one for me. But yeah, it's something ultimately that I would like to have the experience of. Should we move right along?
Moving right along.
Now, this is a place that we've both been to, and you've been multiple times, and we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, Ohana.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is tough to get a dinner reservation, especially. Mm-hmm. The breakfast, I feel like you can get the breakfast pretty easily. I mean, you still have to get a reservation, and it's crowded, but they're more readily available than the dinner. But the dinner is a good value. I feel like you get a lot of food. It's all you care to enjoy for the price that they charge. And despite sometimes the service being lackluster and kind of feeling rushed, I feel like this is worth a reservation and trying to go out of your way to get it. What do you think?
All right, I love Ohana.
And you've had some criticisms of it, like I said, like
of the
you have
service,
to ask multiple
times.
Right, yep. Not the food itself or the atmosphere. Like that, both those things are great.
Mm-hmm.
The food and the atmosphere, I love it there. When we went, the only time I've been, the service was good. So I can't speak to that, but I could see why and how you could feel rushed or like if the servers are overwhelmed trying to push people through the place. So I get that. I've heard that from multiple people. But I think it's a place that, of all these that we've gone through so far, this is the one that I would recommend to try to get a reservation. Because it's kind of like an ultimate Disney experience to eat at Ohana, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Even people who don't know anything and they go on a trip, somehow they get wind of this place. Like people that don't even realize you can go to a resort to eat dinner and that there's restaurants outside the parks, they know about Ohana.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those that is it's kind of like a rite of passage, I think.
I mean, the first two are gimmicky places. Ohana, you can say, is it gimmicky or is it good food? You know, they don't have, it's not a character. They have the character breakfast, but in the evening, it's no characters. And I think people just really like it because of the value. I think for the price, you get fantastic food and lots of it.
And let's also not just poo-poo the fact that you get fed right away, which is important when you have little kids.
Mm-hmm.
You sit down and they're bringing you food and you start eating. You don't have to wait for the waiter to come over, put your order in, wait for your appetizers, wait for your entrees. You know, sit down and you got food in front of you and you're starting the meal right away.
Right.
I think that's why buffets and these family styles are so popular at Disney, because when you have kids and then they've been in the park all day, the last thing you want to do is sit and wait 20 minutes for your entree to come out at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's you and Susie, you don't mind. You sit down.
Yeah, we enjoy.
Get a cocktail.
No, we enjoy the wait. Yeah, sit in our koozies, and I don't want them rushing me. I want to look out the windows and enjoy the views.
But like I said, it's different when you have, you know, even sometimes when you, if you're just looking for some food at the end of the day, that's why the quick serves can be appealing, because you can just order and eat if you're just tired and hungry and you want something. But if you're looking for the experience, there's different ways to go. But I would definitely recommend Ohana. What do we have for number five? It's one of my favorites.
On to number five, Mr. Klinsman's one of Klinsman's favorites. Number five, California Grill atop Disney's Contemporary Resort.
That is correct. Spectacular views of the Magic Kingdom and the fireworks, and I think that's this is like boosted up in its popularity because of that and the difficulty in getting a reservation because people want to go watch the fireworks from the top of the Contemporary. However, I think the food holds up.
You know, Mr. Klinsman, I got my sideways hand going right now. You can't see it through the microphone.
So you're saying the food's just okay?
No, but I'm going to ask you a question. This is a tough question.
Sure.
Is this place gimmicky, or do people go for the food?
I think the problem is it's both.
It is both.
I think half the people want to go just because of the gimmick, and they don't care about the food. They'd be happy with a burger and a milkshake. And then half the people have heard the food's really good, and they don't really care about the views or the fireworks, and they just want to try the food. And that is a tough combination, because that means everybody wants to check it out at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So there's picky eaters that want to just go for the experience, and then there's the foodies that want to go for the food. And, you know, there's a lot of people that cross over, like myself. I love the views. I thought that was incredible. That's one of my favorite experiences I've ever had at Disney, was being there with my wife on our honeymoon, watching the fireworks in the middle of a nice meal at California Grill. And the meal was fantastic. Like,
The food was so good.
You know, if it was sci-fi dining food at that location, it would still be very popular.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't be something that I'd be like, oh, I got to go there to have, you know, that burger that has a hot dog and onion rings on it.
Yeah.
Which is something I would love, but it's not like, oh, I need to make that reservation. But because the food's so good and the views are good and everything about it, it is, I think it's deservedly popular, but a lot of it has to do with the gimmicky, or I don't know about gimmicky, but non-food stuff, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't mean gimmicky like in a bad, because this is a signature restaurant, and California Grill is by far not gimmicky. I was just wondering if you think more people go there for the views and for the fireworks, or if they go for the food. And I think, you know, you and I agree that it's a combination of both, because we went years ago. We took Kristen's mom came down for her birthday, and that's where we went. And I was very touristy. It was the sun was starting to go down over the Grand Floridian, and the views were amazing. The Magic Kingdom was just starting to turn their lights on. It was that time of the day. And I was walking around, going from side to side, taking pictures outside. I mean, it was just, you look over to the other side, and you can see the Orlando Eye. You can see Wilderness Lodge. I mean, but for me, I was very touristy at California Grill, whereas when I go to Narcoossee's, I kind of just sit down and look at the menu and enjoy my meal.
Right. But you still enjoyed the meal
at California Grill. I thought the food was amazing. Amazing.
And that's important, because if the food wasn't great, it's still something that you might tell somebody they have to try it once. But this is a place you have to go to again and again, because it's
and
so
like
good.
You always say about me, it's always about my last meal. And you're right, because I haven't been there in years, so it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. But I think if we were to go there tomorrow night, it would start moving back up on my list, because we had it. The apps were good, the entrees were good, and it very not just good food, but beautiful presentation.
Oh yeah, it's great. Yeah, and the portions are generous there. Mm-hmm. It's not like some of the fancy places. Although with Disney, the signatures, they don't skimp on portions for the most part. You know, the prices are high and the presentation's fancy, but they give you a good bite to eat. You never
they
leave
really
hungry.
Do. I never leave hungry. And the thing I like about the signatures is you don't leave stuffed either. I like to have I like to have that comfortable feeling
where you want to walk around and grab a dessert a little bit later.
Correct.
Possibly. Yeah. Not like but when I you know leave Hoopty do review and you have to be literally rolled out of the building.
Oh God! Or even like Ohana, you just feel like mud. You know, I'm always checking into that mud room.
Right. You can't even make it to the one on the first floor. You got to go to the top floor mud room.
Yeah, but this is—I know that this is one of your favorite restaurants. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And Por Favor wife really liked it.
Yeah, we loved that. The whole experience, we loved everything about it—the food, the atmosphere, our service. The servers there are fantastic too.
Oh, unbelievable!
Yeah. So, it was a great experience. Anything else you want to say about Grand Floridian? The California Grill? Yeah.
No, you notice how we really focused in on this place, though?
Yes. It had what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Another place that we could focus in on, and this is a place, this is one of the rare places that Mr. Klinsman's been to, but Bill has not, is Le Cellier at Epcot. And it's in the Canada Pavilion. Incredibly popular, expensive, and hard to get a reservation for, according to the website. I'm going to contest this a little bit.
Go ahead. You go first.
It was way more popular before they bumped it up to a signature. The prices were a little lower. If you're on the dining plan, you could go for one credit. They bumped it up to a two credit. Now I feel like it's not easy to get a reservation, but it's easier. As you even said, didn't you see one pop up like a day or two before you were heading up to property and you were just looking through reservations and Le Cellier was there?
Correct.
So, and I see that happening more often. I've noticed a lot more Le Cellier popping up availability. And I think they've kind of priced themselves out of their popularity a little bit.
Well, let's do something. I'm going on to my Disney experience right now.
Okay.
And I'm going to see what we can get for tomorrow.
Go out like a week, because tomorrow's tough because people have to cancel within 24 hours. So a lot of times more stuff pops up for the next day.
We're going to go out. We're going to go out next week.
Yeah, go like next Friday and see what
things to do. Dining, make reservations.
This is good radio, by the
way. This is live, Billy. This is raw.
That's true.
We're going to go Saturday the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go pick a popular time. We'll go 7 p.m.
Sure.
2. And let's see. Now I'm actually kind of contemplating. Let's see. We got Otis Point. We have the Boathouse.
Mm-hmm.
We have Flying Fish. Grand Floridian Cafe. JK. We do not have Le Cellier at 7. So let's just go up, and we are going to do dinner. We are going to search. And do we have Le Cellier, H.I., Il Molino, Gico, Kona, La Hacienda? No, we do not have Le Cellier.
All right, no Le Celliers. But, I mean, my point still stands. I've noticed more.
Oh, all the time.
Reservations popping all up the for time. That. And, yeah, it's not always going to pop up because it is still very popular and it's small in there. But I feel like it's not as much of a value as it used to be, so that's cut down on the popularity. But obviously not enough. They're still, you know, banging the place out, so they're not going to lower the prices back down. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame them because they're getting, you know, they're getting plenty of reservations for it.
Now, this is another place that I would be at the park with my mom, and she would be like, and I remember the first time that I went back, I hadn't been there in almost 20 years. And I said, what is this? The last time I went here, it was with my grandfather, and it was a buffet-styled place in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the menu. I said, oh, dear God, yes, please. So this was like at 4 o'clock. She said, anything? No. It's like, can we go on, you know, on a list? You know, we'll eat at any time. Because I said, yeah, if anything opened at 9 o'clock,
right,
I would take it. It wasn't like, oh, we got to sit down right now because I'm about ready to eat my arm. But years ago, you could not get near this place.
Right. Yeah. The prices aren't
terrible,
but they're high. I mean, a Black Angus ribeye for $54, a filet for $54.
It's in the Shula range, and Shula is the gold standard for steakhouses thus
and you
far.
You could walk up to Shula's in 20 minutes and get a table.
Correct.
Also, I do have to... remember last week when I mentioned that there was some rumors of the cheddar cheese soup being available at the refreshment port?
Yes, sir.
I realize now that that's not just for the festival. That's a permanent thing, apparently. That you can get... I'm trying to look it up to get a 100% confirmation of this. But apparently, you can get... Yeah, here we go. For $4.19, Canadian cheddar cheese soup at the refreshment port, full size. And then poutine for $4.19. French fries with Canadian cheddar cheese soup poured over the top of them. So there you go, at that refreshment port. So now, year-round, you can get the cheddar cheese soup.
That's good pour favor
intel, isn't it?
Intel, yeah.
All right, so we'll move away from Le Cellier, and then we're going to go...
let me ask you a quick question.
Oh, sorry, let's go back to Le Cellier. Sure, sure.
Let's go back there. Why, because this is I haven't been here, why is this so popular?
I think it's living off its past right now, to be honest. I don't know that the food is any better than Rose and Crown. It's a little fancier because they decided to make it signature.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed it when we went, but it was still a single credit at the time.
Okay.
And it was difficult to get, but the menu was very different. We were on the dining plan, so the prices didn't matter, but they were much lower. Single credit, like I said. The food was very good. Didn't blow me away. It didn't come close to really any of the signatures that we ate at.
Okay.
But they may have upped it, so I can't really say based on that. But I don't
Yeah, because you're basing it on when it was back in a single credit.
And it was good. I mean, I had their like signature filet with the... mushroom risotto, and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. But everything else just was kind of... Like, the atmosphere is nice. It's like a dark wine cellar. It seems like an old-school traditional steakhouse, but...
Now, I heard one of the complaints is that the seating is on top of each other.
It is very cramped. That's probably you've heard it from me, because that's what I say almost every time. It's small in there, which is probably why it's hard to get a table, and the tables are very close to one another. Anything else, or can I move on?
Let's move on, Billy.
All right, here's one that I definitely can foresee myself dropping a couple $100 on in the near future.
We've talked about this.
Cinderella's Royal Table. Part of the curse of having daughters is that this is definitely going to be something that I will experience, and I have zero desire to. But it's also something that when I do go with the girls, I'll probably have the time of my life watching it through their eyes.
Now let me ask you a question.
Can we go
with you?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Okay. Cuz we were talking about, you know, Kristen said that this is a place that she'd like to go to once.
Right.
And I said, you know, I watched YouTubes. The food looks okay. Definitely, like, not worth the price. You know, if I'm going to spend $70, $80, $90, I'm going to go to Shula's.
Any signature, yeah, correct. Of course.
But I think if I'm going to go, it would be fantastic to go with the girls.
Right, yeah, that would be. That'd be something that it would enhance your experience of it tenfold.
I would enjoy it much more than if I went with Susie.
And you guys would probably like it, because I'm sure it's really nice in there. It's going to be a great experience to eat inside the castle, mm-hmm. and that's pretty cool. I mean, I have to admit, that's kind of a very, obviously a high selling point for it, but for me, it wouldn't be worth it, except to see it through the girls' eyes. And yeah, that's something that, I understand why it's a difficult reservation to get, because anybody who has young daughters or young girls that they're taking with them, this is like a must do. Mm-hmm. And boys too. I mean, I'm sure boys like it, but because of the princesses, I always say the girls, but there's plenty of boys, especially the younger ones, who watch the movies and they like the princesses. So I shouldn't say just girls, but
different times, Billy. I didn't like princesses when I was a younger kid, but we're not going to get into that.
No, but you know what? I used to watch the movies with my sisters, and I enjoyed like Little Mermaid growing up. That came out when I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I didn't go around, you know, doing a Little Mermaid backpack, but I liked the movie. And probably if I was a couple years younger, I would have been thrilled to meet someone from that movie, you know what I mean? Whether it was Little Mermaid or whoever.
No, I don't know what you mean.
You don't understand. You can't understand that.
I'm not grasping this. Did we want to move on?
Yeah, let's move on from this before I keep digging. But yeah, it's like $100.
I'm trying to bail you out here. Yeah,
it's like $100 a head though to go to that joint. Close to it, is it like $80, something like that? Is that what
it's pretty expensive.
And the food doesn't look that good.
No, it doesn't look all that great. No,
it doesn't look terrible, okay, but it doesn't look $80 good.
Now, you're not going to go ask Mary for an autograph of her friend, are you?
No.
She's a princess.
She is, I've heard. Mm-hmm. Or she's friend. What do they say? They're friends with the princess, something like that. And the last one on this list, which I take it to be the hardest, which I kind of agree with, is Be Our Guest.
Now, you want to talk gimmicky.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, we have three different things to talk about here, because you get three very different experiences depending on which meal you go for. Breakfast, overrated and overpriced.
Now, I was listening to, it may have actually been the Diz Unplugged, and they annihilated this place for lunch, which is the only meal I've ever had there, and I thought it was fantastic, and I know that that's where you're going with this.
So, the breakfast is good, but it's way overpriced.
Yeah, what do you get? You get a Danish and what else?
They bring you like a tray of pastries, and then you get to each pick an entree, and it's like $26, I want to say, maybe $28 a head. And like, I got this like open faced breakfast sandwich. It was some bacon and egg on a little baguette with some potatoes, and that was it. And then I forget what else you could get. There's a few different options you could pick from, and they were fine, but way overpriced. However, if you're on the dining plan, you can use a quick service for that. Same with lunch. And that's where the value comes into this place. Because if you are on the dining plan, quick service plan, or the regular where you get a quick serve meal, this is a great value because of the prices. And, I mean, the dining room is nice. It's gimmicky, but it's nice in there. I mean, it's something you have to check out.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch is really hard to get a reservation for because it's cheap. It's cheaper than the other two meals. You can actually, you know, get out of there for about $18-$20 a head for lunch and have a mm-hmm. good meal.
Yep.
And the food's good. It's not like, it doesn't knock you down, but it's good. The onion soup's good. I've heard from you and Frank that the onion soup's very good.
Onion soup was fantastic.
The pork is good. The sandwiches are okay. Sarah wasn't a huge fan when we all went. She didn't love her food, but she loved the atmosphere. So she would go back, but she wasn't too excited to go, like, to try to have the dinner there because it's expensive and hard to get a reservation. So if you can get a lunch reservation there, I would definitely recommend it because it's worth the experience at that price point.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go into the breakfast or dinner, I think it's overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you were on the fence for a while. Like, you're like, I got to try the dinner because you've heard good things about the steak. Is that correct?
Yeah, I heard the steak was good, but I think I also heard it from Amanda Brown, and we're definitely not going to have her on the show to discuss food around the world anytime soon.
No, but she loves Mama Melrose, and that steak was good, so I give her a little bit of credit for
that. Yeah, the steak at Mama Melnick's is pretty good.
That's a very good steak.
But again, what do they say about a blind squirrel and a nut?
Yeah, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, talk about a place that you don't need a reservation for. Mama Melrose.
Oh, that place is great, isn't
what
it?
What a hidden gem. It's gorgeous inside. The food is fantastic. I can't get over it. I can't believe that I've been that long without being at that place.
What?
I'm dying to
go
back.
That place is an absolute hidden gem. And I remember the first time I went with my mom, and she was always she was like you, just an Italian, a Northeast Italian food snob, and everything's better here and blah, blah, blah. She's like, this place is really good. And I had dinner there. I'm like, this place is fantastic.
Oh, it's so
good. It's not really
steak.
Good. It's fantastic.
And I can't really speak for everything on the menu, but just that steak alone, what, $33 for that?
Mm-hmm.
What a good deal for the amount of food you get and the quality of it.
Lovely macaroni and cheese.
Oh,
you dip that in the steak
amazing.
Juice.
Oh, Bill.
Billy.
Oh. And the chicken parm is good, according to Frank and Por Favor Mary, who've had it, and I trust them on that. Yeah, I mean, the place is gorgeous, too. Really nice atmosphere. You get that kind of like... It's a weird theme. I know this has nothing to do with what we've been talking about, but we started talking about steaks and Por Favor Amanda, and it brought us here. But the atmosphere in there is weird because it's supposed to be like a Los Angeles restaurant, but it's kind of like a Los Angeles version of a New York Italian restaurant.
See, I thought it felt New York-y, kind of.
But it's supposed to, but it's technically in California. Like, it's a California place, Mama Melrose, like Melrose, California, but it's like their version of what a New York Italian restaurant would look like.
Oh, I see.
So it's kind of got cool theming in that regard. Either way, that's a place that, you know, if you try to get a sci-fi dine-in and you get shut out, go to Mama Melrose. You will not be disappointed.
Or just even start there.
That's true. Don't even worry about sci-fi.
Don't even bother with sci-fi.
All right, before we hit our break here, of these eight, I think I know your answer, but I want to say, which one do you think deserves to be a difficult reservation?
Which one do I think deserves?
Well, because like some of these, you're like, be our guest. I wouldn't go out of my way to get it. Cinderella Table, I wouldn't go out of my way. Chef Mickey's, I wouldn't go out of my way. But which one? Do you understand why it's a hard reservation and you would try and you'd fight for a reservation there if you could get it?
Can I give two?
Well, don't give two because I have to give one and I'll just give the one you don't.
Okay. Okay. Because one I'm leaning on. Okay. You know what I'm going to say?
Sure.
I'm going to say Ohana. And
okay.
The reason being is because a lot of people are on the dining plan and it's still a one credit.
That's true.
And I think that's why. I think it's a good value. I mean, I'm not sure if the price is in the 30s or low 40s, but
I think it's
way,
in the 40s, but still it's worth it.
It's worth it. And again, if you're only spending one credit, then
it's
that's one
worth
I mean,
it.
That's definitely the place to go. So, is it my favorite? Absolutely not, but I can see why that is a tough table to reserve.
But that's the kind of place that's better with a big group, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the kind of place that you and Susie go to for a quiet, you know, anniversary dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of place where you meet up with, you know, Catherine, Mary, Frank, and Sue, and you guys laugh.
And we've always done. The first time I went was with Kristen. I think we went once for dinner, once for breakfast, and then we went a couple times with your family. But it is much better with a larger party. That by far.
So that was going to be one of my choices. The other one, which I think you were going to say, would probably be California Grill, correct?
Which is definitely the best restaurant that's on that list.
It's the best food. Victoria and Albert's probably better.
Neither of us have been there.
Right. But yeah, California Grill, of all those on that list, is the best food. So if you're willing to spend the money and you want to have a good signature experience, get that reservation 180 days out if you can. And I don't think you'll be disappointed in the atmosphere and the food.
Mm-hmm.
Which is important because that place has a lot to live up to because of what people say about it, and I think it lives up to it.
And I think, you know what? I think that's a place that your parents would like, because I think there are options that your dad would enjoy.
Yeah, he's looked, and he's not a fan.
He's not a fan, huh?
Yeah, but I think if he went, he'd probably like what he has, but he would never go, because there's nothing on there that draws him in.
Okay.
So, I understand what you're saying, but I've had this conversation with him. He's a simple guy. He's a meat and potato guy, and, you know, he knows what he likes, and... Although I did tell him, I said, you know, you stepped out of your comfort zone, you never thought you'd like Grand Floridian Cafe, and now that's his favorite place.
Oh, that place is fantastic.
Another hidden gem, which we've talked about many times.
Love that place, and there's never anybody in there.
Whenever
the place is empty, it means that the food is fantastic.
Oh, not necessarily. But yeah, I guess sometimes, yes. You know, I'll agree with you. But just because it's crowded doesn't mean the food is bad either. As like California Grill will say,
right.
So it's hard to judge it.
But I think the Wave is good. Grand Floridian Cafe is good.
Even quick serves though, like Columbia Harbor House, never a line, and that's by far the best quick serve at Magic Kingdom.
I think it's been declining over the years. I think it was better years ago. I think it was better years ago.
Oh, that's probably true, but it's. I still think it's the best option at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about getting waffle fries or corn dogs, yeah, of course. I mean, we both agree the food there is absolutely garbage.
Right. Well, on that note, maybe we should take our second break. What do you think?
Oh, that sounds good to me, Mr. Klinsman.
Cowpokes will come from the near and far when you throw a few ribeyes on the farm. Roberta Duran ate two before a fight, cause it gives a mighty man an awful lot of mighty mind. Eat steak, eat a big old steer. Eat steak, do we have one deer? Eat beef, it's a mighty good food. It's a great A meal when I'm in the mood. Eat meat, filet mignon. Eat meat, eat it all day long. Bones till you get your fill. Eat a New York cut hot off the grill. Eat steak, eat a big old steer. Eat steak, do we have one deer?
Alright, we're back. Just finished up episode number 203 of the Por Favor podcast, and it wouldn't be a food episode if we didn't bash the food at Magic Kingdom. It's such a shame that the food's so bad there, isn't it?
It's. I mean, you got the real estate.
They have the real estate. The crowds are there. The problem is they don't have to put in the effort because the people are there no matter what, and they got to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's few people like us that will leave and we'll go to, Wilderness Lodge and eat at that, what's that place called? Geyser Point. I'll eat there, or you know, you go to the
Whispering Canyon.
You eat at the quick service, yeah, or the sit downs. But I'm thinking just quick serve.
Oh, yeah, the quick serve. Yeah, Gasparilla Island. Yeah. I mean, there's millions of options on the loop.
Contempo Cafe that are better than anything in Magic Kingdom.
Correct.
And most people, what, 9 out of 10, 98 out of 100 won't leave to do that like we
do?
Yes. And they know that, so they don't have to improve it. But, yeah, man, the food could be so much better there. And it wouldn't be that hard for them to improve it either. Because they obviously can do it. You look at some of the quick serves at Epcot and Animal Kingdom, and how much better they are than what you have over there. I mean, Satouli Canteen, that food's fantastic. They bang it out quick. It's packed all the time. Like, why can't they offer something of that quality at Magic Kingdom?
Right.
You know, there's no reason for it. Anyway, another rant. Although, I do have to say, Magic Kingdom, the snacks are the best there. You get the Dole Whips, you get the Citrus Swirls. That kind of stuff. You could snack around Magic Kingdom and have pretty good food experiences, but when you try to do a quick serve or a sit down, you're usually going to be disappointed.
That I agree, sir.
All right, good. I'm glad we agree on that. Anything else you want to add to this week's topic here, or are you ready to wrap things up?
I got to confess.
All right, go ahead.
You know how we don't have DirecTV yet?
I've heard.
So we're getting the TVs brought in next week. And we ended up getting a couple of movies, actually a couple of box sets.
Oh, okay. Did you do Star Wars?
I did.
Oh, Bill.
I know.
You're such a Disney homer. Just because Disney owns them, you got to get the Star Wars box set.
I know.
I can't believe it. After all we've said, although you never claim not to like the original three.
And that's the thing, okay, because Kristen's said that her brother-in-law is a big, big nerd, and he was a big Star Wars nerd, and her sister likes the Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. So I said, I loved them when I was a kid. I absolutely loved them as I was a kid, but then I grew up, and I'm like, 18 years old, whenever the other ones came out, I don't need to watch these. So we saw them at Target, and I said, do you want to get these and watch these? And she said, I've always wanted to kind of see what this is all about. And my take is, it costs us $30 or whatever. Right. If you hate them, you hate them. But with them taking over Hollywood Studio,
you better be comfortable.
I want to see what the hell's going on. I mean, it's like watching Avatar. Okay, we're going to go check out this land. Let me know what the heck at least is going on.
That's true. Fair point.
And I asked the assistant pro at work tonight. I said, you're my age. I said, you remember, I said, some of the classics. I said, E.T. He's like, yeah. He goes, but looking back, E.T. was a good movie, but he said it wasn't the best, blah, blah, blah. I said, what about Star Wars? He goes, I'm not a geek. I don't understand this craze. He said, but yeah, the first three movies when we were kids I thought were absolutely amazing. He said it was good stories. It was good action. So we're going to give it a try. Why not?
Now, did you get like the six movie
yes.
set?
Okay, yeah, so you're going to see. There was one that had the first three and then the other one that had the second three. So yeah, it was six.
So you haven't seen the Disney ones yet. Mm-mm. So you're going to work up to those, watch the first six, and then maybe get the three Disney ones in there after?
Yeah, I didn't see if they came out, but yeah, we'll probably end up watching them. I mean, are you going to do the same thing, or are you just going to completely just ban them?
No, I banned it. I watched the first three, like,
and you
maybe
never liked them, huh?
4 or 5 years. I never watched them when I was a kid. I watched them for the first time like 4 or 5 years ago, and I was kind of bored with it.
Okay.
And so I didn't give the second. I heard the second three are pretty much garbage compared to the first three. So I didn't like the first three. I'm not going to watch the second three.
Okay.
And I'm certainly not going to watch the Disney ones just because Disney owns it, because I don't really care about it. I'm going to be lost anyway.
Okay.
So I don't have any desire to see it. And I know that part of Hollywood Studios is going to be such a circus for like 5 years that I might as well not like it, because I can avoid it and not have to worry about 9-hour waits for rides. You think the lines at Avatar are bad? Wait till those rides open at Star Wars Land.
Oh, it's going to be awful. I mean this is probably a park that you're just never going to go to.
No, I bet it'll be great, because I can go over the Tower of Terror. It'll be 10-minute waits. Rocky Roller Coaster will be 5-minute waits, because everyone's going to be stuffed into the little Star Wars Land.
In Toy Story Land,
and I'll have my run of the park. The rest of it. You can do it in an hour and a half, hop over to Epcot, and really have some fun.
It'll be a quarter-day park, yeah, exactly.
Well, for me, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't have a problem with Star Wars, don't get me wrong. I mean, people like it, they like it, but as you've said many times, I don't remember this many people going gaga over Star Wars until Disney started owning it.
Right, and I feel like I'm cheating on you, because I'm going to be watching these. But like I said, I did like the first few, so heck, I mean, it's not going to hurt anything if I watch them and I don't like them. But
right.
I kind of want to see what the heck this thing is all about. But yeah, it's just funny how, like, yeah, everybody's wearing their shirts and blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah.
I've always been a big fan. Oh, yeah? Before Disney owned them? Sure. Whatever you say.
All the comic book geeks, it's amazing.
Yeah, all right, exactly. All right, that's going to do it for episode number 203. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Por Favor Podcast. Search wherever you get your podcasts: iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Por Favor Podcast, youtube.com/Por Favor Podcast. You can email the show info@PorFavorPodcast.com or email me, Gary@PorFavorPodcast.com. Mike?
You can email me, Mike@PorFavorPodcast. Follow me personally @PorFavorMike on Twitter.
All right, thanks so much for listening to episode number 203 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejado de los Podcast. For my co-host Mike down in Florida, my name is Gary. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
There's a great big, beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away.
That is a dream, that's the start. It follows his dream with mind and heart.
And when it becomes a reality,
a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
That's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
There's a great big
beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow,
and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.